Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. At a recent committee meeting of Cobourg Council, Mayor Lucas Cleveland said Cobourg's effort to deal with the encampment on King Street were only dealing with the symptoms, but not the sickness. The sickness the mayor was referring to was Northumberland County's efforts to address the situation. The county is responsible for housing and homelessness. Cobourg is not. This limits what the town council can do to address the ongoing concerns raised by the public. The mayor went on to suggest it may be time for town council to consider leaving the county to become a separate municipality. His remarks were, in part, a response to resident and local businessperson James Bisson, who appeared as a delegation. Bisson expressed deep concerns and frustration about the encampment. He is not alone. On today's show, you'll hear a response to the mayor's remarks from Northumberland County Warden Brian Ostrander. You will also hear him respond to a number of concerns raised by Mr. Bisson's presentation. I'm so pleased to be joined today by Northumberland County Warden Brian Ostrander. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
It's always a pleasure, Robert. Thank you for having me on.
What is the current situation with the encampment in Cobourg?
As far as I know, it's still there at the old Brookside Youth Detention Center. I can say that the work that our social services team has been doing over the past 18 months or so seems to be working. The numbers are declining at the encampment. People are being housed through county social services and county housing, and we're hearing that there are some folks that have been living rough for some time who have gone into treatment for addiction issues. So we're happy to see that that's happening, and we're happy to be the ones who have been able to help transition people into what we hope will be good news for the rest of their life.
Do you happen to have any statistics to back that up?
We don't know the actual numbers at the encampment. It's tough with transient groups to you know, actually take polls and see who's there. But I'm told by our social services team that the numbers have declined significantly. That's the term that's being told to me.
Because when you drive by, it visually doesn't look like that. So how would you respond to people who might be a little skeptical about this?
I would certainly understand the skepticism. You're quite right. It does not look like the population has decreased. But of course, when we are able to help people find housing, it's unlikely that the transient place that they're living will disappear overnight. So that work will have to happen as time goes on.
Do you know if the property Brookside has been sold?
It's my understanding that it has been sold, but I can't confirm or deny one way or the other.
So what is the status then, to the best of your knowledge?
It either remains in the hands of the province as the Infrastructure Ontario as the owner, or it's now in the hands of a new private owner.
With that being the case, is the county doing anything to prepare if the property is sold? In other words, is the county working at all with a plan to deal with whatever the fallout is if the property does get sold?
We are aware that at some point there's going to have to be some movement of people off of that property, and we are prepared to help people move into transitionary housing for those who are willing to do so.
So that's the plan, is that if there's an announcement, your objective will be to move as many people as you can into some form of housing. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. That's always been the intent. We always want to see people with a roof over their head when they're willing to do so.
If some choose not to do that, what is the contingency that the county has?
We don't have a contingency. We cannot force people to live with a roof over their head. That's just not the country we live in.
How much money has the county spent on its responses to homelessness? Now, I know that at the August regular meeting, you received a figure of about $1.9 million in total as a response to the overall homelessness problem. But also, there have been some direct costs. How much is that?
I don't have those figures in front of me, to be quite frank, Robert. I'm not
Well,
sure.
maybe I
I'd
can
be
help you.
sure.
It's my understanding that according to the reports that were submitted to County Council, it was $168,000in direct costs paid by the county to deal with the encampment. With that being the situation, has that money been spent well?
The answer is yes. The answer we spend the taxpayers' money well every time we do it, or at least we try to. And when we're trying to provide services to people who are living in conditions that are less than ideal, those costs tend to escalate in a big way. So whether it's endeavoring to find people treatment, or find people with housing, or to deal with medical situations in a mobile way, those things always cost more than it would be for you and I to find those same services if we needed them. And so we know that that number feels expensive. It is expensive. We are absolutely grateful to our provincial partners who have come to the table and helped us with that funding, because without those funds from the province, people would be in a lot worse condition than they are today, people who are living rough in our communities. So the simple answer to your question is yes, we are spending the money well, and we are spending it in the ways that our funder at the province is expecting us to spend it, which is to help service people who are living in less than ideal conditions.
Speaking of costs, the Coburg Police submitted a report to the town saying between August 20 of 23, when the encampment was first formed, to June of 2024, it has cost the police force more than $142,000 in salary costs alone. Now, that doesn't include benefits or pensions for the officers or the cost of support staff like crime analysts or court administration. Now, on top of this, you have the fire department of Coburg, you have the bylaw enforcement of Coburg. Is there any plan to reimburse the town for these expenses related to the encampment?
Not from the County of Northumberland, no, sir. We don't fund the town of Coburg for security or policing matters.
Does that seem fair to you?
Yes, the county doesn't fund the municipality of Brighton, or the municipality of Trent Hills, or the township of Cramie, or any of the other seven lower tier municipalities. For policing costs, or bylaw enforcement costs, or fire costs, when we have extraneous expenses either.
But as a mayor, if the tables were switched and the encampment was in your area and the OPP was having to supply officers to respond to incidents on a constant basis, would you not feel that it was your obligation to somehow seek reparations for those expenses on behalf of your taxpayers?
Well, here's the wonderful thing about being OPP contracted, is that when I have extra force required, my contract includes that automatically. So the OPP would send in the additional forces that the inspector of the day believed was necessary, and that would be covered by the roughly $2 million a year that I pay for policing in the municipality of Brighton. So there would be no need for me to ask for those additional costs to be recovered.
I see. But in the spirit of what I think Coburg's upset about, does it not seem reasonable that there might be some seeking of reparations for having to supply all these additional costs at local taxpayer expense?
I can understand why they're upset. It's costing a lot of money. Policing is expensive. Bylaw enforcement can be expensive. Fire can be expensive. All of these services that we manage at the lower tier can be expensive. And I know that the county is being blamed for that. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think it's appropriate to point the finger at the county for the problem. And I don't think it's appropriate when you have your own police force to then say, well, we've made a choice. Our choice was to have our own police force. That's expensive. Now we'd like someone else to pay for that. There are other solutions to that problem. And of course, as you know, we're investigating the possibility of those other solutions at the county level.
One of the core elements to the county's response is 310 Division Street. First of all, can you give us an update on its status?
We're working with the facilities managers are working to ensure that the warming room, the first level, is up and running as the temperatures start to dip here, so that we can get it going. We have sought some exemptions from Coburg's licensing bylaw so that we can get our license. We are waiting at last discussion, which was yesterday, we are waiting to hear from the town of Coburg on where that stands. So we have not heard back. We have paid our fee. The county has paid its fees to the town of Coburg for the license and for each exemption that we've requested.
I know the goal was before the end of September to have it in place. Will you be open in time?
As far as I know, yes.
At a recent committee meeting of Coburg Council, James Bisson, who is a local resident and a business person, made a deputation. In it, he is calling on Coburg Council and residents to come up with an action plan to deal with the encampment in the next 60 days. In the presentation, Mr. Bisson referenced his efforts to communicate with the county. Are you aware of this effort?
I believe he has come as a deputation to one of our committee meetings, and I'm aware of at least one other piece of correspondence as well.
And what is the position of the county in regards to Mr. Bisson and his presentations?
Well, you know, I think I can surmise to sort of wrap the vision up as, you know, the county should clear the encampment. I think that that's sort of where they would like it to go. The county of Northumberland is not in the encampment clearing business. We don't move people off of other people's lands. If private property owners or other corporate owners want people moved off of their land, they need to be in touch with the local police force and issue trespass orders, as we would with anybody else. Now, a lot of the time we get the finger pointed back and say, well, when this was on county land, you made sure that the land was cleared so that, and yes, we did. We needed to make sure that emergency services were available out of the base at that property. We needed to make sure that we were providing our corporate services to the community out of that facility. So yes, it was our property, county property. And yes, we did remove the encampment from county property at that time, as we would anticipate any other property owner might want to do.
Mr. Bisson presented an action plan. It included a community-based effort involving local churches, private sector involvement, business groups taking on homelessness. From the county's perspective, how do you respond to this kind of citizen-based response to the encampment?
You know, I think if organizations wish to get together and help other people out, be they churches or private groups, I have no issue with that. I would ask that they connect with county social services to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're providing those appropriate services in appropriate ways. But I think it sounds like a pretty reasonable approach to me.
Mr. Bisson also made no bones about the fact that his feeling is that the county is not responding sufficiently to the encampment. He seemed to indicate that Coburg is not being properly represented at the county, and he used the phrase, and I'm quoting here now, taxation without representation. Is he right?
He's not right to, invoke a Boston Tea Party-esque feeling in the town of Coburg. I don't think that's appropriate. If he thinks he's not being represented well at the county as a Coburg resident, he needs to speak to his mayor. His mayor is his representative at the county council. I think what Mr. Bisson is getting at is that we are not directly elected as members of county council. We are elected by virtue of the fact that we were elected as mayors. But let's remember that on a constituency basis, all of the mayors are directly elected. And by virtue of that, we become members of county council. And then at the county table, we choose the head of council, which we call the warden at that level, very much in the, French municipality way. That's how municipalities in France choose their mayors.
We often hear politicians, especially mayors, when they get elected, saying that, when I'm in front of Coburg Council, I advocate for Coburg Council. But when I get off to county council, I have to wear a different hat. I have to see the larger picture and vote in that manner. Is it possible that in this particular case, that doesn't work particularly well?
No, I there's no reason that shouldn't work. The reality is you have I have a fiduciary responsibility to the Municipal Corporation of Brighton when I'm sitting around that table, and I need to make the decisions that are appropriate for Brighton there. And I have a fiduciary responsibility to the municipality of the County of Northumberland when I'm sitting around that table, and I need to make those decisions that are appropriate there. The vast majority of the time, they are the same. They you're able to make the same decision at both places, and there's no conflict. Every now and then there's a conflict, and you need to make the best decision that you can at the table you're at, while also endeavoring to represent the taxpayer, the global taxpayer, across the county and in the town of Coburg or wherever you happen to be from, or the municipality of Brighton, et cetera, et cetera.
Coburg taxpayers, speaking of taxes, Coburg taxpayers contribute nearly a quarter of the revenue for the county's annual budget, or about $17.6 million. It's easy to say Coburg gets good value for their tax dollars when we talk about things like garbage or recycling or snow plowing or road repair. Are Coburg taxpayers getting value for their tax dollars when it comes to the encampment and how it's being handled?
Well, the answer is yes. The fact of the matter is nearly 100% of social service outreach for the encampment is being managed, homeless encampment is being managed in Coburg. We are, the homelessness issue is being almost entirely managed in the town of Coburg. So, when we talk about 25% of the taxes coming out of Coburg, 100% of that service is, well, not 100%, but a vast majority of the service, 90% of that service is being managed in Coburg. So that investment is a good investment in the town of Coburg, especially given the housing crisis that we're facing across the province of Ontario, across the country, quite frankly.
I want to jump back for a moment and talk a little bit more about 310 Division Street. Now, I understand the county has a liaison committee and that they are advertising for people who are interested in being involved. And it is going to be a consultative committee that citizens can air concerns and bring issues forward. Mr. Bisson, in his presentation, was critical of this committee. Is that the only venue available to citizens who have concerns?
No, they could reach out to their county councilor or any member of county council. They could reach out to staff. If there's an urgent or immediate concern, they don't have to wait for a county council meeting or a committee meeting or this liaison committee to meet. We're here, and whether Mr. Bisson likes it or not, we're here to represent. So, I would be happy to hear from if he has a serious concern about 310 Division Street. That is something that's solvable.
Mr. Bisson talks about taking back the community. If you were could speak to him and other citizens who support his efforts, what would you say to them?
I'm not sure where the community went, that you need to take it back from. At the end of the day, it's still Coburg. It's still, a pretty a really good community. I have. I'm downtown Coburg at least once a week, and I'm chit-chatting with some folks, and people are still, Coburg's still Coburg at the end of the day. So I'm not sure that we need to take Coburg back, so to speak. I understand the concerns and I get the fears, and yes, the world isn't what it was 30 years ago. That's true. That's true everywhere. I'm not sure we're going to ever get back to 1975.
Following Mr. Bisson's delegation, the mayor of Coburg suggested the current efforts by the county are not sufficient. He claimed that all the efforts were merely dealing with the symptoms and not the sickness, to use his terms. Overall, do you agree with him?
I would agree that the county has had trouble delivering some of the services we want to deliver, in particular a homeless shelter, because of some roadblocks that have been put in our way. It is our hope that we will see some of that come down. We are working very hard at the county level to be good partners and to try to provide space for people who are living rough. I don't really appreciate the comment that the county might be a sickness. I take exception to that. The reality is, we work very county staff work very well with town staff. They are working in partnership. They are trying to find ways to make all of the things happen, not just the shelter, but all of the services happen. I can speak from, for generationally, the county has worked very well with its lower tier partners. And so, I'm not sure that the county is a sickness, quite frankly. I don't believe that to be true.
The mayor suggested a solution may be to li leave the county. How do you respond to that idea?
Sounds expensive for Coburg at the end of the day. There would be study after study to be conducted. There would have to be a triple majority vote in which the town of Coburg votes in favor of this secessionist movement. And then the county council would have to vote in favor, and then the other lower tiers holding a majority of the population would have to vote in favor, and then municipal affairs and housing would have to say it's okay to do. And I suspect that even if all the votes locally went in favor, our friends at the province would say, yeah, that's the wrong way to go. Having another small separated municipality is probably not an additional burden we would like to bear at the province. But at the end of the day, it's also wrong-headed, quite frankly, Robert. The town of Coburg would then have to buy all of the services that are being provided through the county levy from the county of Northumberland: paramedic services, landfilling, garbage pickup, social services, housing. Like, there are a dozen services provided by to the people of Coburg by the county of Northumberland that would have to be purchased on an agreement-based invoicing system. And then guess what? They really don't have. Now they don't have representation at the table. They're just negotiating these agreements. And speaking with my friends from Hastings County and Peterborough County, where they do have to offer these services to single or lower tiers, to separated municipalities or single tier municipalities. It can be a real headache, but it can be a real headache for both, and it can be very expensive.
You used a term, and I want to come back to it, and that is separated municipalities. Can you explain just for the listener what that means? What is a separated municipality? Because I know there are some in other municipalities, but places like Gananoque, Prescott, Smith Falls, St. Mary's, the township of Paley, they're all separated. What are those?
So it's a municipality in a county that does not have representation at the county. So they are purchasing all of those services I mentioned, those dozens of services, the dozen of service or so, they're purchasing those from the county. So as an example, our friends in the city of Quinney West, they're a separated municipality in Hastings County. The mayor of Quinney West does not have a seat at the county council table, but Quinney West purchases social services, housing, paramedic services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, from the county of Hastings. And they do so on an agreement by agreement basis through memorandums of understanding. And because they're not dealing with the same economies of scale, it can be quite expensive for the lower tier.
You've characterized some of the aspects of the relationship between the county and Cobourg, but after this statement by the mayor at this committee meeting, do you see a reason to be concerned?
Yeah, I do. It's incredibly concerning when someone who's supposed to be the leader of your municipality and a leader at the county table begins using this kind of inflammatory rhetoric. Do I think it will be a popular thing to say? Do I think he can win an election on this? I do. I think it's probably it's very easy to attack Goliath, right? It's easy to say that the county's inefficient. It's not providing services. Look, we have a problem over here with an encampment. They cleared their property, but they won't clear our property. What's the matter with them? It's all very simple rhetoric. But at the end of the day, it's a complex issue. It's a complex issue about property ownership. It's a complex issue about how we deliver social services. It's a complex issue. Homelessness is a complex issue. How did people, nobody woke up this morning in their 2000 square foot home and said, you know what, that's it. I'm going to go live in a tent for the rest of my life by the railroad tracks. Nobody does that. You get there. It takes a long time to get there through a series of incredibly unfortunate events in your life. And it takes a long time to get out of it. First of all, there has to be a willingness and there has to be services available. The county is providing those services. We're seeking that willingness, but we're also seeking partnerships with our lower tier municipalities to help us get there. And so when we hear rhetoric, secessionist type rhetoric, it's not helpful. At the end of the day, we need to be working together. We need to be working collaboratively. We need to be finding economies of scale. We need to be going the other way where we can be pushing shared services up to the county level so that those services can be offered on a broader level at a cheaper rate. And that won't happen if we continue to hear this kind of rhetoric, or especially if there's a movement to do so. But I guess if someone's looking to run for re-election, and you want to take the easy route, that's the way to go.
There was an effort to characterize a division at county council between urban and rural. Do you see any evidence of that yourself?
I don't. I don't, primarily because most of us already live in urban rural environments, whether, Brighton has a significant urban rural split, Cramie Township, Trent Hills, Port Hope. Only Cobourg is entirely urbanized and only Hamilton Township is entirely rural. Everyone else seems to have a pretty decent urban rural mix. So I don't, this characterization that there's a split is, I think inappropriate. It's not true.
What, if any, effort would the county take to keep Coburg in the fold?
I don't think it should take too much effort. I think the good people of Coburg have pretty serious economic benefit from having county council, having county the county and being the seat of the county in Coburg. I suspect the county of Northumberland is a pretty significant employer for Coburg, and I guess my biggest fear, Robert, is that like we saw at Peel Region when you know they were talking about ending their relationship with their lower tiers and getting rid of Peel Region. Peel saw a very significant movement of human resources outward to other jurisdictions, and those folks aren't coming back. So I guess to the staff at Coburg, I would say hang in there. I don't think this is a reasonable or likely move. The people of Coburg need you in your jobs, and the council of Coburg needs you in your jobs. So let's let cooler heads prevail.
Brighton Council received a notice of motion recently to look at the possibility of having a low barrier shelter. What is the status of that notice?
We did. That wasn't what the notice of motion said. It was asking for municipal staff to figure out what we could do for the homeless population if the need be. So it was warming centers. It was do we need to be doing more at the lower tier to help out the upper tier? That motion passed. And we did direct staff to reach out and find out what we could be doing. So we're waiting for that report to come back to Brighton Council.
Is that one way to relieve some of the pressure, though, away from Coburg? Coburg's been a real focal point in those sorts of services and transition house. By Brighton opening the door possibly to taking on some of those services, is that a way to alleviate maybe some of the stresses and the demands being placed in Coburg?
Well, I think unfortunately what we would probably end up doing is create bigger stresses at the social services level as we try to deliver those services further away from where the current population is and where the services are able to be provided. So really the question I think that Brighton Council is asking is, if we see this happen, do we have the resources available to help people out? Like I said, we're waiting to hear what that conversation sounded like.
One of the purposes of the encampment was to draw attention and create a debate around the issue of homelessness and affordable housing in Northumberland. Do you think those involved achieved that goal?
I think that conversation was happening already. I think that they have probably highlighted the broader concerns about the cost of housing, be it rental or ownership, not just in Coburg and not just in Northumberland County, but everywhere. We're not alone here. We're seeing these kinds of housing encampments, these kind of homeless encampments popping up all over the place and in places we've never seen them before. You and I both know this used to be something we would see only in the city. You know, I'm using my quotey fingers, only in the city. Be it Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, that, you know, and hardly anywhere else. And then smaller communities started seeing homelessness. And it's more and more true as people are having trouble making decisions between paying the rent or buying groceries.
But in all fairness, and I'm not going to disagree with you, while those conversations were taking place, it wasn't really community-wide. And it wasn't something like you could walk into any shop anywhere in any place in Northumberland County, and somebody's going to have something to say about the encampment, about homelessness, about affordable housing. And I wonder to what extent, though, as this being one of maybe the goals of this group, was to draw attention to and to stimulate that at a grassroots level. Do you not think that they've achieved that? That, you know, now everybody's talking about this, everybody has an opinion about it. And it's very much a contested debate that is taking place within the county, within politics and citizens and everybody.
Well, so the answer is absolutely. We have never, in my 20 some years on Brighton Council, we have never had as many conversations about the cost of housing, the cost of putting roofs over heads, as we have in this term of council. And that's just in the last 2 years. We have never, I don't think, ever had to contemplate a land banking program before. But in Brighton, we've started that, and we've purchased land so that we can have those conversations with developers about, okay, so we've got land now. How do we do this exchange, and how does that work, and how do we make it financially viable for the taxpayer, as well as making sure we're offering affordable lands for affordable development, attainable housing. So yes, those conversations are certainly, because of the crisis we're seeing, because of the homeless population we're seeing, and because we know there are people in our communities who are questioning whether they can pay their rent or not, we're having these conversations more. So the answer is absolutely. Now at the lower tier, I think we can be doing more to promote land use planning policies like additional dwelling units. And there are opportunities to get grants from the county to create additional dwelling units in your home. So Northumberlanders, here's your opportunity to get a grant from your county of Northumberland to create an additional dwelling unit in your home so that you can have, you can help pay your own mortgage, but also you can help house someone in the community who may need that. And, we're talking about people who are employed here. We're talking about people who are working at Tim Hortons or Walmart, or, working at those jobs that, aren't paying $120,000 a year, but people still need to put a roof over their head and afford their groceries at the end of the day.
Have you spoken directly to Coburg's mayor?
Not on this issue, no, sir.
I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Robert. It's always a pleasure.
That was Northumberland County Warden Brian Ostrander. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.